Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Beitza Lamed Zayin. We begin four lines from the top of the Amid. The Mishnah told us that the concept of Shavus, which describes Isuri the Rabbanon on Shabbos or Yontav, Shavus comes from Shvois, Shabbosoin, rest, hold back from doing these activities. The concept of Shavus applies equally to cases where no mitzvah is involved, or cases where it is a slightly mitzvah-related activity, or even cases of full-fledged mitzvah. Ve'eluhein mishum mitzvah. Shavus will apply in the following cases which are described as mitzvah. And Chachamim tell you, keep back, refrain, due to certain concerns. Loy makdishin, don't give away your possession to the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos or Yontif. Veloy marichin, don't commit to giving your value to the Beis HaMikdash, as described in the Parsha of Erechin. Veloy machrimin, another form of being magdish. What's wrong? Gzeiro mishum mekecha memkar, it might lead to mekecha memkar, to being involved in business activities, in transactions. Says Rashi, seven lines from the top. How does this lead to mekecha memkar? Mishum mekecha memkar, says Rashi. Dele mekecha memkar domo. By giving away, by being magdish, it's strikingly similar to a business transaction. Shemoitzi mishusi lishus hegdish. He's giving away, he's taking from himself and giving to hegdish. And it's very similar to conducting activities of business. We learn from a pasuk that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you meant to hold back from doing business transactions. Keep away from mundane activities, from business transactions on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Inami, another reason why mekecha memkar is aser. Mekecha memkar aser l'day ksivas shtari mechira, because it might lead to recording the event in a document. Kaisev is a malacha. And that's the reason why you meant to refrain from doing mekecha memkar on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Im Taimar asks Rashi, well, now it's a concern on account of another concern. Right? Don't do hegdish, because it appears similar to mekecha memkar, which might lead to writing. It's a double gzera. We generally don't apply a double gzera. Im Taimar havila gzera legzera. And says Rashi, kulo chado gzerahi. It's really all one and the same, because when you conduct commercial activity, generally, you record, you write down, it's all one event. You do it in one sitting. It's not like the mekecha memkar leads to writing. Generally, a business transaction is recorded, is documented, and therefore, says Rashi, it's really one gzera. Don't do a hegdish, where you're giving away, you're taking your possession and granting it to Hashem, which is similar to mekecha memkar, where things change hands. And what's wrong with mekecha memkar? Because it might lead to writing, because generally, a business transaction is recorded. Continues the Gemara. V'loy magbin truma so masters, nor are you meant to separate truma or maser on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Pshita, of course, why even discuss this? You're fixing the produce, you're being mater la'achila, it's masakin, it appears like a malacha. Some Rishonim learn, well, it's no different than being magdish, you're giving away. And just as that is aser, as we just learned in the Mishnah, then certainly truma so masters fall into the same category. Why do you have to list it separately? Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef responds with an answer. Even if you want to give it to the kohen today, you're separating some truma and delivering to the kohen on Yom Tov, where it might appear like you're just trying to feed the kohen, not trying to be matir the tevel. The chiddush is, even in that case, it's asur. It's all included in the gzera of loy magbin truma yisur masrus. V'hane mili, says the Gemara. But this is only provided that it's peri de tvili mi esmal, that this produce has been finished, has been fully produced yesterday, and the tevel status has been triggered yesterday. You had no business waiting for Yom Tov to separate the truma. Aval peri de tvili ha'idna. But if you have something which was produced today, kigoin isa, like a fresh dough, which one may make on Yom Tov. So then it's different. La frushi minochala mafrishina. If you wish to separate the challah portion of that dough and give it to the kohen, v'yavin on the kohen and give it to the kohen, that's okay. Chacham never applied their iser of afrashas, trumas, or masras to dough, which is something you can prepare today. It's part of the Yom Tov activity. Continues the Gemara. You see, the Mishnah spoke about three categories of Yisuri Drabon. One is Shvus, non-mitzvah. The other one was Rishus, slightly mitzvah-related. Third being mitzvah itself. And the more at this point figures that only the first category, Shvus, is really Aser. But when it's Rishus or it's mitzvah, it's not Aser. Really? V'hani mishum Rishus ika. When we go to the category of Rishus, slightly mitzvah-related, that's all it is? Mishum Shvus leka, there's no Issa Drabbanan there? What do you mean? The Mishnah spoke about refraining from all these activities. Next, v'hani mishum mitzvah ika, the third category, which involves full-fledged mitzvah activities. That's all it is, it's a mitzvah. Mishum shvus leka, there is no iser shvus. What do you mean? The Mishnah spoke about refraining from all these activities. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, you know what the Mishnah meant? Of course. These are three variations of shvus. But the Mishnah meant to highlight the chiddush. Start on the bottom of the ladder and work your way up. All those are going to be asr. Not only a non-mitzvah activity, not only mundane activities are asr because of shvus. The concept of shvus can apply even to something which is slightly mitzvah related, or listen to this, even something which is actually a mitzvah, as we just mentioned before, Magdish, Marich, and all these things, will be also Mishum Shvus as well. Amar Bitzuk, Loi Miboyi Ka'amar, the Mishnah meant to say like this, needless to say, Loi Miboyi Shvus Girei Dasa Da Asar. That's simple, that's obvious, that a mundane act, which can only be categorized and described as a Shvus, is certainly going to be Asar if it entails a concern of malach. Ella, but even going up the ladder, afilu shvus to rishus nami asr, even if it's a rishus, meaning it's somewhat mitzvah related, even there, shvus can be applied to hold you back from doing it. V'loi mibayu shvus to rishus to asr. And not only does shvus apply to rishus, ella afilu shvus to mitzvah nami asr, but even if it's a full-fledged mitzvah, at times, we consider it a shvus, and you must hold back. The Mishnah spoke about the fact that typically the concept of Shvus applies equally to Yom Tov or Shabbos. Kol Eilu B'Yom Tov Amru, and certainly on Shabbos. Really? Shabbos and Yom Tov are on the same plane? V'raminu, listen to this kasha from our Mishnah back in the beginning of the Perek, which said, Mashil in Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov, Avalei B'Shabbos. This fellow has wheat, barley sitting on his rooftop. He expects rain to show up on Yom Tov. He can clear the rooftop of that produce by dropping it derech aruba through that skylight to salvage his possession, but this is a heter strictly for Yom Tov and not for Shabbos. Here we see a differentiation between Yom Tov and Shabbos, and the Mishnah Bayah speaks about no differences between Yom Tov and Shabbos except for Eichel Nefesh. Amar Rav Yosef, like Kasha, the answer is, well, it depends who's speaking. We have a machlekes in this regard. Harab Elazar, our Mishnah, which spoke about Yom Tov and Shabbos being on equal plane, is Rabbi Elazar speaking, who doesn't differentiate. Harab Yeshua, whereas the first Mishnah, which seems to differentiate between Yom Tov and Shabbos, is Rabbi Yeshua speaking, who allows more leeway on Yom Tov than Shabbos. Where do we find this machlok? It's this sign. You have an animal and its offspring that fell into a bur on Yom Tov. You can only be sheichet to one on that day. You can't be sheichet oisev es benoy and Yom Tov. He'd like to extract the animals from his bar. They might die in there. So what do you do? Rav Lezer oimer malas harishin am nasa sheichtoi. Going to Rav Lezer, be straightforward. You can't play games. You take out whichever one you want with the intent of doing shechita. V'sheichtoi. That's it. And do the shechita and you're finished. V'asheni oisele panosu v'mkoymai. Regarding the second animal stuck in the pit, you provide for its sustenance. They shall yamas to prevent its death. But that's it. You can't take it out. You can't do an unnecessary tercha. So even though it's Yom Tov, we don't allow unnecessary tercha. So it's similar to Shabbos. We don't differentiate. And Rabbi Elazar is actually the man de Amar of the most recent Mishnah that puts Yom Tov and Shabbos on the same level. However, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he says on Yom Tov, we allow some more for some more leeway. We allow it to take out both animals. I'm not so sure. So take the first animal out with the pretense of going to Shechtet. So it appears like you were simply taking it out for Shechit. And then he could decide, you know what? I want to take a look at the other animal. Perhaps it's a high quality animal. I'm not going to do Shechit on this one. Then he could turn around and employ this pretense, this ploy, to bring up the second animal. Now he has two animals before him. He has a choice. Rotza, ze shechet. He has an equal option. He can decide to do this one or that one. So Rabbi Shua applies some leeway when it comes to Yom Tov. And he allows you to extract both animals safely. Rav Yosef figured that will provide a solution to our kasha. We had a contradiction between the first mission and the perek that allows you to clear your roof of those peres only on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. So we find a distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Whereas in the second Mishnah, we equate Yom Tov and Shabbos. Aside from Eichel Nefesh, no differences. Says Rav Yosef, look, the first Mishnah is Rabbi Shua speaking, who allows you to be makel when it comes to Yom Tov. Just as he allows you to extract both animals safely, Dafka and Yom Tov. Likewise, he allows you to salvage your pears from your rooftop on Yom Tov, as opposed to Shabbos. Whereas Mishnah number 2, which says that Yom Tov and Shabbos are equal, is Rabbi Lezer, who doesn't allow for any leeway on Yom Tov over Shabbos. Amli Abayi, Abayi responds to Rav Yosef. How do you know to compare the two things? Mimai, Dilma, perhaps we can differentiate between our sugya and the sugya of Oisev es Benoi that fell into a bar. Dilma, perhaps, Ad kan like Amar Blazer Hossam. Perhaps it's only over there by the animals that Rabbi Lezer insists on leaving the animal in the bur, even on Yom Tov, because you have an easy way out. You have a solution. Elo de Efshe b'Parnasa, you can feed him down there. Why trouble yourself? Why exert yourself to bring him out? Avalacha de lo Efshe b'Parnasa. Why? But perhaps on Yom Tov, where you have your pears on your roof, and you're expecting rain, which is going to destroy that supply. For lack of better option, even Rabbi Lezer will allow you to clear the roof of that product, because it's Hefzed Mammon, and it's the Tzorech, Simchas Yom Tov, whatever it is, we allow you to do it on Yom Tov. Inami, or you can say, Ad kan like Amar Bishoah Hasam, perhaps it's only over there by the animals. But Bishoah tells you, you can employ this pretense to take them both out. Ela de Efshe LaRumi, because you can employ this pretense, this ploy. So it doesn't appear like you're being overly involved in extracting animals. It looks like he's trying to do shechit. So it's not a public demonstration of lack of regard for Yom Tov. But when it comes to clearing your roof of your wheat, it's a clear public demonstration of tircha on Yom Tov. And perhaps it can lead people to disregard the Kedusha and Kavod of Yom Tov. And therefore, loy, perhaps even Rabbi Yishoah would not allow us to be done. In any case, Abaye is challenging Rabbi Yosef's connection and comparison. Can't compare the two things. There's enough room to differentiate between the two topics. So although we find the machlekes, in the case of the animals, between Rabbi Lezer and Yishoah, not necessarily can you apply that machlekes to our discussion. So back to the kasha. First Mishnah speaks about clearing the rooftop of Paris, Dafka on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. It seems we're more makel on Yom Tov than on Shabbos, whereas in Mishnah number 2, we equate Yom Tov and Shabbos. Elomar of Papa Lekash, I'll come to answer the stira by attributing the first Mishnah to Beis Hillel and the second Mishnah to Beis Shammai. Lekash, Yehobe Shammai, Hobeis Hillel. This none, as we find in the Mishnah that we actually learned back on Afid Beis, regarding Hitzah, carrying through the street on Yom Tov. Beishama Oimrim, you're limited to Eichel Nefesh. Ein Moitzin Lo Yisa Katan, Lo Yisa Lulav, Lo Yis Sefer Torah, Lishus Arabim. The only thing you won't may carry on Yom Tov is Eichel Nefesh. for the sake of achila. But any other object, a youngster, a lulav, a sevatera, cannot be carried through the street on Yom Tov. So according to Beis Shammai, even Isser Hoitzah is limited to Eichel Nefesh. Ubeyasil Matir, according to Beisil, anything which serves a purpose, anything which provides your personal needs, a baby, a lulav, a sevatera, can be carried through the street on Yom Tov. So what do we see? That when it comes to Yom Tov, they still allow carrying, even if it's not for the sake of Eichel Nefesh. The Gemara figures, let's extend that to Tiltal, to moving things around, to clearing your rooftop of Paris in anticipation of the oncoming rainstorm. So Beisil are the ones who are matter, clearing the roof on Yom Tov. Whereas Beis Shammai say no, unless it's directly for the sake of Eichel Nefesh. For food preparation, you can't be metatal, just as you can't carry through the street if it's not for Eichel Nefesh. One second, Dilma Loi. Perhaps this thing is unconnected. It kind of like Amar Beis Shammai Hasam. Yeah, Beis Shammai, who don't allow carrying through the street unless it's Eichel Nefesh, that's only because he's doing Malach HaVeitzah. Elah HaVeitzah. Ava Tiltaloi. But perhaps when it comes to just carrying things around within one's property, clearing your roof of Paris, perhaps even Beis Shammai would agree that you can do it for a non-Eichel Nefesh purpose. How do you know to equate the two things? Tiltal is just moving things around. At most, as they said, the Rabbanon, carrying through the street is a Malach HaDeiraisa. As is the Gemara, the two things are actually very much connected. Ato Tiltal, Lav Tzorech Hoitzahu. How does a person carry through the street? First, by picking it up in the house. So Tiltal is phase one of Hoitzah, right? And as Rashi explains, you know why Chachamim were Geizer Muktzah to begin with? Why don't we pick up Muktzah items in one's house on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because you might carry it through the street? So Tiltal and Hoitzah go together. And Rashi points out that Chacham did not apply Isser Tiltal when it comes to food items, when it comes to Kalim, which are essentials. So Isser Tiltal doesn't apply to those things, but anything else, certainly tools and things which are intended for Malacha, are not meant to be touched, because once you pick it up, it might carry it through the street. So Tiltal and Hoitzah are synonymous. And therefore, it makes sense that Beis Shammai, who limit the Hoitzah on Yom Tov to strictly Eichel Nefesh related items, they would extend that Isser to Tiltal as well. So now we have a solution to our Shaila. In mission number one, we find that on Yom Tov, you can move around the Paris, drop it through the Aruba to salvage from the rain. That's a heter dafka on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. Who's speaking? Beis Hillel. Who say that just like you can carry through the street, even if it's non-Eichel Nefesh, as long as it's for personal gain, a katan, a lulav, a sevater, likewise, they allow it to move things around, as long as it provides some sort of personal benefit, tzorech, even if it's not Eichel Nefesh. Whereas Beis Shammai say, just as carrying in the street is only mutter for Eichel Nefesh purposes, likewise, moving things around throughout the home, it's only mutter if it's Eichel Nefesh related. And therefore, they say, in mission number two, that there really is no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov except for Eichel Nefesh. But they wouldn't allow it to clear the roof of Paris in anticipation of that rainstorm. Continue the Mishnah. Ha-behemah va-keilam kiragli ha-balam. We know that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one is meant to remain within his tchum. So he's living in a city. He has 2,000 amma out of the city in all directions. He must remain within that tchum, unless he made an erev tchumen, which involves placing some bread, etc., at the end of that 2,000 amma boundary. And that becomes his Shabbos residence. And he can travel from there, 2,000 amma in either direction. So in effect, he can travel towards that direction for a total of 4,000 amma. 2,000 amma to his bread, and then 2,000 amma from that Erev in either direction. Now, just as a person himself is meant to remain within his territory, within his boundary, within his tchum, his possessions are meant to remain within that radius as well. Says the Mishnah, Behem of Akelim, Karagli Abalim. One's animal, one's utensils, have the same feet, means to say the boundary has to remain within the owner's boundary. Says Rashi, right in the middle of the wide lines, Mas Nisan. Habeim of Arkelim Karagli Abalam. Ein Adam Yachalai Licha B'yamtav. Ele B'makim Shebaaleha Yichaylin Leilach. Meaning, here's a chiddush. Even your friend can't take your utensil, your behema, along with him, out of your owner's boundary. Suppose your friend made an Erev that allows him to walk 4,000 Amah in the other direction, and you haven't made an Erev in that direction. He can't take your utensil, your behema, your kalim, beyond where you can walk, because your possessions are bound to your territory. So if the owner hadn't made an Erev, what's his default territory? His city. And 2,000 Amah all around it. He can take it up to 2,000 Amah in all directions. If the owner made an Erev going Tzafin, his possessions can only be taken to Tzafin and not to Dar. Continues the Mishnah. What about in the following cases? Hamayser behema libnai oilera. Kam yamtiv. He handed his animal to his son who's a shepherd or to a stranger shepherd. Whose tuchum is this animal bound by? Suppose the owner has one tuchum, the shepherd made an erev in the other direction. Can he take the owner's animal with him? Yes or no? Says the Mishnah, no. Hari elu karagli abalam. This behemoth is bound by the tchum of its original owner. What if you have some utensils which are sheared by all members of the family? Kelim hamiyuchodim lechem na'achan shu'abayis. But it's designated for one. So it's not really shared. It's sitting in the home, but it's designated. It's owned by all, but designated for one of the brother's use. So once it's designated for him, it assumes his tchum. Because it's serving him, it's being used by him, it's bound to his tchum. Hara'ilu karaglov, it has his tchum. V'she'em yuchadim, let's say it's undesignated. Kalim sitting in the home, used by the entire family equally. So it doesn't assume any specific, any particular brother's tchum. Rather, since it's jointly owned and used by everybody, hara'ilu kimakim shaholchin, it's bound to everybody's common tchum. Which basically means it has to remain in an area which all have access. So suppose one brother made an erev going in this direction, the other brother made an erev going in the other direction. You can't take the kli in either direction. It has to remain in an area which can be accessed by all equally. Hashoyel kli mechaver merv yamtiv. Suppose he borrowed a kli from his friend before yamtiv. Kiragli hashoyel, it assumes the tchum of the borrower, because although he's not the owner, but the owner gives it to him for his yamtiv use. And during Ben Hashemashah, it's going into Yom Tov, it was in whose possession? In the borrower's possession. Actually, the Gemara says it, speaking, even if he didn't actually take delivery until Yom Tov, but since it was slated for his use, it was destined to be borrowed by him on Yom Tov. So the borrower already allows the owner, allows the borrower to assume rights, and it becomes like his with respect to Tchum. So that's if he approached the owner before Yom Tov. But be Yom Tov, he only came over to the owner on Yom Tov to borrow his possession. Karagli Amashal has the tchum of the owner, the one that lent it. Similar case would be that an Isha approached a friend, borrowed some seasoning, water, salt, as ingredients for her dough. Now you have a dough which has many elements. Some ingredients belong to Rachel, who has this tchum. Some ingredients belong to Leah, has a different tchum. So this dough must remain accessible to all, has to remain within everyone's common tchum, because it has dual allegiance. and is bound by everybody's tchum. Rabbi Yehuda takes exception. Rabbi Yehuda points to Rabbi Meir. He says, when it comes to water, we don't reckon with the owner of the water. Because it's not tangible, it becomes absorbed and embedded in the dough. The dough overtakes it. And you don't have to reckon with that element. Now, getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which spoke about handing the animal to the royeh, to the shepherd, in which case we say it still retains its owner's tchum. Is Akasha on a Manda Amar who said also otherwise. Maslisan the loy krabdaisa. Our Mishnah does not seem to be lying to Rabdaisa who says that the animal given to a roya assumes the tchum of the roya. He's the caretaker. It's bound by his boundary, not by the owner, the Sani Rabdaisa Aimer. But Amilor Abashol Aimer, Akech Behem Machavirum Erev Yamtiv. He approached the cattle dealer before Yamtiv. I'd like to purchase an animal. Even though he only took delivery on Yom Tov, whose tchum does it assume? Who is it bound by? The customer. It's connected to the tchum of a customer because the merchant was glad to get rid of it. He allows it to be connected and related to the customer who's going to pick it up on Yom Tov. Likewise, he handed his animal to the shepherd to take care of it. You know, he actually gave it to him on Yom Tov only. Whose tchum does it have? It's bound by the tchum of the shepherd. He's a caretaker. In our Mishnah we learn, it holds on to the tchum of the owner. It doesn't assume the tchum of the roya. You know what? Our Mishnah could be following Rab Deisa as well. It's a different circumstance. For like Kasha, the answer is, it depends on the circumstance. Kan b'roya echad. Rav Deisa is speaking, when there's only one shepherd in town, it was slated to go to him. It was meant to be put under his care. And therefore, coming into Yom Tov, Bein HaShemashes, is considered as though it's under his care and gets the tchum of the roya. The owner sort of relinquishes his rights, allows the roya's tchum to be applied to his animal. Kam b'shnei roya, Mishnah speaking, when there's a choice, you have two shepherds in town, he's not sure who he's going to give it to, so you don't really connect it to either one, and therefore, the animal retains its owner's tchum, dekanami. The wording of the Mishnah is indicative of such, that we're speaking where there's a choice in town, dektani lebnoi aleroya, shema mina. It says he gave it to his son or to the shepherd, apparently there's competition in town. And therefore, it doesn't assume the status. The tchum of the roya retains the tchum of its owner, says Rashi on the top line. Kan b'roya echad, she'en bi'ir el roya echad. There's only one shepherd in town. He has exclusive rights to all the animals. Kol b'nei ir ma'amidim b'hem t'mishusay. So he is the only roya for all the members of town. V'nikne shvisas, and therefore the animal assumes the shvisa, the Shabbos residency, the tchum of the roya. Hilkach bein meicher, bein lekeach. So even if you actually purchase an animal on Yom Tov, it's a chiddush. Everybody has a mind, it's going to end up in the shepherd's hands. Da'ate shle tikna bein shvisas etzlei, ala b'shvisas roya. He allows the shvisa of the roya to be applied to his animal. That's if when there's one roya. Umas nisn, however, our Mishnah b'shnei roya, was speaking that there is a choice in town. There are two shepherds competing with each other. I'm not sure who the Bailam had in mind. So it retains the status of the owner. Unless it's sitting by the shepherd before Yom Tov. So coming into Yom Tov, it's by the shepherd. Otherwise, it retains the tchum of its owner. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Halacha Rab Deisa. Indeed, that's the Halacha. There's one Roya in town whose Shvisa gets applied to the animal. The Roya's Shvisa. Umi Amar Rabbi Yechon Hachi. Is that so? The Rabbi Yechon follows Rab Deisa. That assumes the Shvisa of the Roya. V'Amar Rabbi Yechon, did Rabbi Yechon tell us Halacha Gestam Mishnah? The accepted Halacha is always in line with an anonymous Mishnah. And what does our anonymous Mishnah say? Seems to say otherwise. The behemoth holds on to the tchum of the owner and not the roya. What do you mean? We just asked the kasha and we answered. V'lav v'kimna, haven't we interpreted that Abish is speaking about a different case? Kam b'roya echad, kam b'shnei royim. When there's one shepherd in town, his territory, his boundary gets applied to the behema. Our Mishnah is speaking where there are two royim, and therefore it doesn't apply. Tanur Rabbanan, shnayim shalishalu choluk echad b'shutus. Reuven and Shimon borrowed a robe, so they can both use it on Yom Tov. Zeh leilach by shachars beis hamedrash. This fellow is going to use it in the morning to go to shul. Vizeh lekanes by arvus beis hamishta. He's going to use it in the afternoon to go to the suda, to the party. So both have rights, and therefore this item is bound by the tchum of Reuven and the tchum of Shimon, and has to remain in common territory. Now zeh irav olav letzafen. What happened was that Reuven made an irav towards the Safan of the city. He placed his Erev Tchumen, 1,000 Amma, towards Safan, which allows him to walk 1,000 to the Erev, another 2,000 from the Erev further, and then he has another 1,000 going to Doran. Right? Because the Erev allows you to walk 2,000 either direction. So that was Reuven's Erev. V'zeh Erev all over Doran. What happened was, they didn't really coordinate. Shimon, he made an Erev going to Doran. So he places Erev, say, 1,000 Amma towards Durham, which allows him to walk 1,000 to the Erev, another 2,000 past Erev. And regarding the other side of the city, he's left with 1,000. So the robe has to remain within common territory. Zesh Erev Olav Letzafin. Reuven, who went to Tzafin, he put his Erev towards the north. Malchut Tzafin, he can walk and take the robe towards Tzafin, but only in as much as Shimon will have access. Kiragli mi she'irav olav l'dorim. Only as far as Shimon, who made his erev to Durim, can walk. Which basically means, if he wants to go to Tzafin, at most he has 1,000, which is where Shimon can walk. And likewise, Shimon is also limited. V'zeh she'irav olav l'dorim. Shimon, who made erev to the darm of the city, mahalach l'darm, he can take the robe towards the south, 1,000 amma away from the city towards the south, but only 1,000 amma, which is as far as Reuven could walk. Mahalach l'darm karagli mi she'irav olav l'tzafin. You can only walk as far as Reuven, who made erev to Tzafin, can walk. So again, you have a city in the middle. Without an erev, you're allowed 2,000 to Tzafin, 2,000 to Darim. Reuven made an erev to allow him to go to the Beis HaMedrash. Where did he place his erev Tchumen? 1,000 amma out of the city towards Tzafin. Allows him to walk 2,000 amma further. It allows him to walk 2,000 amma back. So 1,000 to the city, and then 1,000 out of the Durham side of the city. Because the city doesn't really count. Shimon has the same situation. He made an erev in the other direction, 1,000 amma away from the city towards Durham. So personally, he can walk another 2,000 amma towards Durham. And then regarding towards Tzafin, he has 1,000 to the city. And then 1,000 on the other side of the city towards Tzafin. This chaluk has to remain within the common tchum, within common territory, within the 1,000 amma boundary of either side of the city, which can be accessed by both parties. Because this chaluk has dual allegiance. He's bound to both tchumen. He's jointly owned and serving both people. Okay, so in this case, they're safe because there's still some leeway. But in this case, v'imitzu olav v'satchum, listen to this. They squared it right in the middle. So tchum here is referring to the person who could walk 4,000 amma, right? 2,000 each direction. So this tchum, meaning this 4,000 amma territory, was placed right in the middle of these two individuals. Meaning, what happened was, Reuven made an erev to Tzafin. But instead of placing only 1,000 out of the city, he placed 2,000 out of the city, which allows him to walk another 2,000 towards Tzafin, and just 2,000 back to the city. That's it. That's it. Then his tchum expires. Shimon did the same. Problem is, in the opposite direction. He put his erev to Durim, and 2,000 I'm out of the city. So it allows him to walk another 2,000 and back towards the city. But that's it. He can't go past the city in the other direction. And nor can the first fellow go past the city in that direction. So that's called Mitzu Olav Es HaTchum, the 4,000 Amah that a person could walk was right in the middle. So now, this Chalak is stuck. It has to remain in the city. It can't go anywhere. Says the Gemara, V'mitzu Os HaTchum. If they took the tchum, which is referring to the 4,000 amah territory that a person could walk, and they placed it, they centered it right in the middle of their eruvs, as we described, so what happens to this robe? You can't take it anywhere. It's stuck in its place. Because if I'm going to move it in this direction, then it's beyond this fellow's tchum. If I move it in this direction, then it's beyond this fellow's tchum. So it's stuck in its place. And that's based on this concept that when two people borrow an item on Yom Tov, that item is serving both people and is bound by the tchum of both individuals. Continues the Gemara with another case, a similar case, but slightly different. When there's a real partnership, which can be split, which can be divvied up, what happens then? It's when we learned. Shnayim shelakhu chavis ubehema b'shutvis. Reuven and Shimon purchased a barrel of wine on Erev Yom Tov with the intention of splitting the content on Yom Tov. Or they purchased a behema on Erev Yom Tov with the intention of splitting it on Yom Tov. So this item is a jointly owned item coming into Yom Tov during Ben HaShemashes when the concept of Tchum gets applied, descends on this item. Half of it assumes Reuven's tchum, half of it Shimon's tchum. So what do you do on Yom Tov? Rav Amar Chavas Muteris. Come Yom Tov. They split the Chavas into two. He takes his wine, he takes his. And each fellow is free to go where he needs to go. This is mine, this is yours. This has my tchum, that has your tchum. Ubehema Asura. When it comes to an animal, it's different. You have to leave it in a tchum which is commonly accessed by both individuals. You don't have personal rights to either part of the animal. The Gemara soon will explain the reason for the difference between the chavis and the behemah. So that's Rav. Ushmol amar chavis nami asura. Even if you split the content of the barrel, he takes his wine, he takes his, we don't allow you to drag that supply to your area. Why? Rashi says, ein bereira. See, Breira would mean that although we had a mixture, but now that I took mine, I have verified, I was mevarer, this was meant for me, this was my part all along, and my tum was applied to this part. That would be Breira. Shmuel says, ain Breira. We don't know whose part is whose. Perhaps the wine that you got was really your friend's. The wine that he got was yours. You have to leave it in common, neutral territory. So according to Shmuel, ein breira, whether it's a behemah being split, a wine bottle being split, leave it in neutral territory. Rav says, yesh breira. Wine can be split. This was mine, this was yours. This has my shvisa, my tchum, this has yours. But when it comes to an animal, we don't apply that. Why? Micah sava Rav. What is Rav's thinking? What is Rav's svara? If he holds a breira, so the portion that I inherit on Yom Tov has been verified as mine, I feel behemah tishrei. Then let's apply it even to an animal that's split into two on Yom Tov. My part's mine all along and has my shvisa. Because of a breira, if it doesn't apply breira, well, I feel chavas nami asura. Then even when it comes to wine, running into the same concern, who says what you have is yours? Maybe you took here, the other fellows, and the other fellow took yours. So how can we differentiate between wine and a behemoth? Certainly Rav holds a breira. The portion of wine which I got was meant for me, acquired by shvisa, likewise yours. V'shani behemoth. Behemoth is different. Keep in mind, coming into Yom Tov, this animal was alive, a living entity. In which case, all the avarim of the animal, nurtured from each other. They drew from each other. Everything in the animal gets mixed up. It's a living entity, a vibrant entity. And therefore, my chelik and your chelik got mixed up. My chelik drew from yours, sustained itself from your chelik. So in my chelik is embedded part of yours as well. And your chelik is embedded part of mine. It's inseparable. We all drew from each other, we lived off each other, and therefore it's an inseparable entity. So although during Ben Hashmashos, theoretically we can say, well, this part's his, and tomorrow I take mine, which was mine from Ben Hashmashos onward, and you take yours, which was yours to begin with. But keep in mind that between Ben Hashmashos and now, which is the next day, things were mixed up again. Right? So the chelik, which was kind of my shvisa, my half, which acquired my territory during Ben Hashmashos, got mixed up afterwards and was yoinik from yours. So there's a part of your animal that's sitting in my animal. Part of mine is sitting in yours. And therefore, it's bound by both of our tchums. Amr li l'Rav Kahana Ravasi l'Rav. So they challenged Rav. L'isa muktzah l'chashashu. We don't seem to be concerned about muktzah. Meaning this concept of yanki me'adadi, that all the portions of the animal derive from each other, live off each other, sustain each other, doesn't seem to be a concern when it comes to muktzah. L'isa tchum l'chashashu. So why are we concerned when it comes to tchumen? Explains Rashi. There's a muktzah concern as well, because look, I don't want your part. I was mesiach das from your part. Reuven wants his part. Shimon wants his part. And he pushes away, so to speak, his friend's portion. That makes it muktzah for him. And once it's muktzah, that should create a concern, because his portion is being yoinik. It's living off the other fellow's portion, which is muktzah. So skip the concept of tchum. Suppose there's no issue of tchum in here. You want to eat it in town, in a neutral place. But why isn't there a concern of muktzah? My chelik is drawing off yours chelik, of your chelik, which is muktzah for me. And when it comes to tchum we're concerned, what's the difference? Tosis is asking Rashi, why is it muktzah? It's because I'm not going to have your part that makes a muktzah for me? It's royal achila for me? Tosis looks a little bit differently. He says, the Gemara is asking, according to Shitas of Yehuda, that something unprepared, undesignated for Shabbos use is muktzah. Here as well, the animal is a growing entity. It grows and grows even after Ben Hashmashos, even on Shabbos. It's yoinik, it's misgadal, and it gets bigger and bigger, and that newness, that new element that arrived on Shabbos, is really muktzah. It's unprepared. We're not concerned about it, right? We don't reckon with the extra shamnunis, the extra fat, or whatever that grew on Yom Tov. We don't say it's unprepared on muktzah. So therefore, when it comes to the tchumen issue, why should we be concerned with the fact that my portion benefited a bit from your portion, and vice versa? It's insignificant, it's negligible, we don't reckon with it. So that was the kasha they asked him. It's just a grav. Rav remained silent, didn't respond to this kasha. Okay. My havelah. Well, let's go back to our shayla regarding two people who have a shutfus and a barrel of wine and a behemah. Whose tchum is attributed to this item? Rabbi Yeshua Amar Yesh Breira. We apply Breira. The portion that I receive on Yantav has been determined, has been destined for me to begin with, has my tchum attached to it, and likewise my friend. Rabbi Yechonam Ein Breira. We don't apply Breira. We don't know who's what, which one belongs to whom, and therefore it's all one big mixture. You can't take your portion to your tchum, you have to leave it in neutral territory. Says the Gemara, "V'asar Rabbi Yeshi Yesh Breira." Is it true that Rabbi Yeshi holds a Breira? You can verify later and have that applied retroactively, and determine that this was meant for me to begin with, and this acquired my tchum during Ben Hashmashes. That's not. Listen to this Mishnah, where we seem to see that according to Rav Yehoshua, we don't say Brera. You can't begin a procedure now and have it completed later and apply that retroactively. Hameis b'bayis. We have this Gemara back on Daf Yudam and Aleph. You have a mace in a home, which has many openings, many doors and windows. Kulon tmeim, all the doors and windows are tamei. Salachim Hashem Sinai, that the tumah of the mace extends all the way to the windows and doors. It's sort of the exit route of the mace. And everything is tamei. Something sitting under the doorpost, inside the window frame, is tamei. Because we don't know which door he's going to use, which window is going to serve as his exit route. However, niftach echad mem, suppose he actually opened one of those windows, one of those doors. It has now been determined and designated as his exit route. Hu tamei b'chol entire. So that becomes his exit route. That has tumah. But all other doors have been relieved of their tumah status. That's if he did a masa by opening a door. Chishev leitziyah b'echad mem. Let's say he only had a machshava. I plan on using this door. Oy b'chaloyin sheish b'arbal arba. Or this window, which is large enough, 4x4 tefachim. Matzelas al psachim kulon. This has been determined, designated as the exit route, and salvages all the other doors and windows. Now, when did this happen? After the mace died? Or before? This only works if he designated before Misa, before the tumah descended on all the doorways. You can designate this is going to be a doorway, and when the mace dies, only this will have tumah, nothing else. But after tumah descends, by mere designation, you can't relieve the doorways of their tumah. Machshava doesn't have that ability. Only Masa does. Opening the doorway can do it. But just designation doesn't work once the tumah arrives. It's too late. Even after the mace dies, in which case tumah applies itself to all the doors, you can designate one as the exit route. That will remain tumah and everything tar. Now the question is, are we speaking going forward? Or even retroactively? We learned a pshat on this Mishnah. On Rabbi Yeshua, letayr zapsachem mekana labo. This only works going forward. So we can designate this door, this window, as the exit route. That will have the tumah and nothing else. Mekana labo in, going forward, yeah. Not freya lay, but it doesn't work retroactively. Once something acquired tumah by being under that doorpost, up until this moment, it remains tamei. You can't be metayer retroactively. Because you don't hold a brera. You can't say, well, this was a doorway meant to begin with. No, you don't do that. That's Rabbi Yeshua speaking. And by us, by Tchumen, Rabbi Yeshua seems to say, yesh brera. You have a jointly owned barrel of wine, which was split on Yom Tov. You can say, well, this was meant to be mine, and acquired my Tchum, and this was yours. This only works with Brera by determining now and having applied retroactively. Heifach, let's switch around the names. So when it comes to Tchum, Rabbi Yeshua me'ein Brera. Yeah, we don't apply Brera. And therefore, you can't take your wine to your Tchum because it's all mixed up. You don't apply Brera, just as he said by the Tumah of the Bais. Rabbi Yechna me'yesh Brera, because Rabbi Yechna, we do say Brera. So let's just switch around the names. So they're lined up properly. Now we have another problem on our hands. Rabbi Yechon doesn't hold of Breira. Two brothers inherited their father. They split their possessions. Now we know that if we buy something, buy a property, come Yovel, it goes back to its owner, goes back to the seller. But if it's a Yerusha, then it doesn't apply. Two brothers split apart an inheritance. We don't know whether Reuven got his portion meant for him and Shimon got his portion meant for him. We don't know. Perhaps he took a portion of Reuven's. Shimon took a portion of Reuven and Reuven took a portion of Shimon. They made a sort of an exchange. It's like a transaction. We treat it like lekuches, like they purchased from each other. And the halacha of Yovel applies. It reverts back. Come Yovel. We treat it like a transaction, like a sale. This is Rabbi Yechon speaking. Now, if we would apply Brera, we wouldn't have this concern because whatever Reuven got was certainly meant for him. Whatever Shimon got was certainly meant for him. It has been determined now this was his part. It wouldn't be considered a transaction. It's coming to him. It's his. It's rightfully his. It's an inheritance straight from his father. Rabbi Yechon considers it a transaction, a mekach hamemka, apparently because he doesn't know the brera. Who says you got yours? Maybe you got his and he got yours and you exchanged. So there's no brera according to Rabbi Yechon. And by truman he seems to hold a brera. Whatever I got was meant to be mine and has my trum. Perhaps you'll say, when it comes to Dine Torah, the Reis, we don't hold a Breda contra Rabbi, as opposed to Tchumen, which is only the Rabbanon, Avo the Rabban Isle. When it comes to Rabban, we apply Breda, Umo Mekel. That's not either true. Or the Rabbanon, me Isle. Does Rabbi Yechon hold a Breda by the Rabban? He doesn't hold a Breda by the Rabban either. Vatani Aye, Aye is the name of a Chacham. He explained like this. Rabbi Yuda Omer, Ein Odamas Nashneid Varm Keechad. Suppose a person is living in a city. He expects a Talmud Chacham to arrive on Shabbos. He places an Erev in his direction, so he can visit the Chacham, listen to the Drash on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you can't make a double Erev on condition. Ella, what could you do? In Ba Chacham LeMizrach, Erev LeMizrach. So you can place an Erev towards the Mizrach of the city, and one towards the Marav, and say like this. I'm not sure where the Chacham is going to come from. If he comes from Mizrach, Erev LeMizrach. The Erev placed to the east will be activated, which will allow me access to the Chacham on Shabbos. LeMarav, the Chacham happens to arrive from the west, Erev LeMarav, the Erev placed on the west, will become activated, and allow access to the Chacham. That you can do. V'ilu L'kan L'kan Loi. But you can't place a double Erev and say, look, you know what? I might get double guests tomorrow. Two Chacham might arrive, one from the east, one from the west, and I'll decide tomorrow who I want to go listen to, whose drasha I'm interested in attending. You can't do that. So in the first case, it's okay. But not in the second case. Now the kasha is, what's the difference? Either way, he's making a double error with a condition. Ravimar, we ask the kasha, why can't he place an error in either direction and say, I'm going to decide tomorrow which Chacham I want to go to? You can't verify tomorrow what you had in mind yesterday. You can't decide tomorrow which Erev will be activated retroactively. You can't do that. Well, in the first case as well, when there's only one Chacham arriving, he's not sure where he's coming from. He places an Erev to the Mizrach, another one to the Marav, to cover all bases, and he's going to use whichever Erev he needs. If the Chacham arrives from the east, he'll use that one. If the Chacham arrives from the west, he'll use that one. Mizrach Marav, Nami Ein Brera. Don't you have to apply Brera there as well? During Ben HaShemash, it's an unknown. There's no where the Chacham is. It's only tomorrow that he's going to find out where he came from. So this is legal. But when you have two Chacham arriving, in which case he has to decide which one he wants to go to, that's illegal? Why? Because you have to apply Brera? You have to verify now and apply that retroactively? Well, when there's only one Chacham who happens to arrive either from the east or from the west, which will determine which Erev was activated in Hashemashis, that also requires Brera. What's the difference? But Rabbi Yechon, the answer is like this. Ukvar bo Chacham. The Chacham arrived there in Hashemashis. He didn't know. But the fact is, he was there. He was either to the east of the city or to the west. Tomorrow, he finds out where the Chacham came. So it's something that was activated in Hashemashis. In reality, the Erev was activated to one of the two directions. That doesn't relate to Brera. So we'll find out tomorrow which Erev he was Zoichen. As opposed to the other case where there are two Chachamim arriving simultaneously, and he'll have to decide the next day which one he wants activated. That he can't do. He can't make a decision today, have that applied retroactively. As opposed to when there's only one Chacham, he placed an Erev in either direction, and whichever the Chacham, whichever side the Chacham comes from, that Erev gets activated. It's only one Erev. I'll find out tomorrow which one it was. Oh. Alma Lesley Rabbi Yechon Breira. It's pretty clear for Rabbi Yechonon. In fact, Rabbi Yechon sought to explain this halacha in this manner, which is not in line with Breira. Apparently, Rabbi Yechon does not hold a Breira even by Tchumen, which is the Rabbanon. So, Rabbi Yechon tells us in our sugya, when it comes to splitting a barrel of wine on Yom Tov, we apply Breira. El Elmei Seifach says, the Gemara, you're right, let's not switch any names around. Rabbi Yechon does not hold a Breira. Rabbi Yosha does, even though we find that Rabbi Yosha does not hold a Breira by the halachas of Tumah, because that's the Reis. V'chiles l'Rabbi Oishe Breira b'Daraisa. He doesn't hold the Breira by Daraisa, it's Mochamer. Ava with the Rabban Islay, when it comes to the Rabban like Tchumen, he applies Breira. He can split the wine, and each fellow takes the wine to his Tchum. Dorash Mazutra, Mazutra announced and taught, Halach Rabbi Oishe, then when it comes to Tchumen, we apply Breira. So in summation, when two people have a partnership in a barrel of wine or in a behemoth, according to Rav, they can split the barrel and each one takes it to his tchum. Yeish breira. By behemoth, we can't say that because the parts draw from each other and get mixed up. According to Shmuel Rabbi Yechanan, ain breira in either case. According to Rabbi Yeisha, we do say breira because tchumen is the Rabbanon. Okay, so we learned that the Isuri, the Rabbanon of Shvus, applies to mundane activities, to Rishus, and to mitzvah activities equally. The Mishnah spoke about clearing the rooftop of Paris on Yom Tov, is following Beis Hillel, who allow tiltal, even if it's just personal benefit without Eichel Nefesh purposes, just as they allow carrying through the street for the same purpose. We learned that a person's behemoth or kalim is bound by his tchum. What if he gives his behemoth to a roya, a single shepherd in town, it's bound by his tchum. If there's competition, we don't apply that halacha. Two people borrow a robe, it's bound by their common territory. And what about a shutfas of a chavis of behemoth? Well, that depends. We hold of Breira. Kol tov to you and much hatzlacha.